I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, good morning, folks. We've got a great show lined up for you today. Dr. Joe Cantor is going to visit with us in the 12 o'clock hour today as opposed to tomorrow. I think the governor is going to be having a press conference, so he has to move, and we certainly want to accommodate him. A lot of questions to be asked, a lot of information is just not exactly clear, and I think people are getting more and more confused. I said this the other day. I read about this as much as anybody, and just here recently in the last 30 days, things have really got kind of mucked up. It's getting cloudy. I don't know about you, but that's been my reaction to it. In the 11 o'clock hour, we were just notified that Michael Heck has something that he's got to tend to, so he sends the brains of the organization to meet with us this morning. Ileana Lede, VP of Public Policy, she will step in for the Michael Heck, and she brings with her Leslie Dandridge-Durham, who's the alternate federal co-chairwoman of the Delta Regional Authority, and we'll talk with her in the second half of the 11 o'clock hour. And Preston Hennigans from the organization FAIR joins us to give us an update on the latest on the immigration battle that's going on at the southern border. The numbers continue to increase, but there's a lot of different nuances. And FAIR has issued a couple of policy positions that they've forwarded to the administration, and I'm sure they're waiting with bated breath for a response. Preston?
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, the administration is going in the complete opposite direction of how we'd like to see them go. But we're still issuing public comments for them. You know, we're still really trying to sound the alarm of what's going on at our southern border and how it's impacting communities across the United States and not just in these border states.
Texas continues to spend oodles and oodles of money backfilling the failures of the Biden administration and their legal obligation as to what they're supposed to be doing at the border. What do we see relative to numbers through the month of November and into December?
Right. So the border crisis really continues with no end in sight. You know, we saw a record-setting number of apprehensions at the southern border, and as we know, a lot of those, you know, come in through Texas. And in the first month of the new fiscal year, we saw over 160,000 apprehensions. In November, we saw over 173,000 apprehensions. So, you know, we're on track to break last year's record, as disturbing as that sounds. And we might see a year where Customs and Border Protection apprehends over 2 million illegal aliens at the southern border, which is just unheard of. And really, the Biden administration has done absolutely nothing to try to put a stop to this or to try to fix this.
So when we think about early onset, what their approach was going to be, according to the vice president, she was named as the czar of all of this, she wanted to get to the root cause and was dealing with the three representative countries that we call the Northern Triangle. But now this situation at the border is far broader, far bigger than Northern Triangle countries, right?
Exactly. We're seeing more and more that we're getting what we call extra continentals coming to the southern border. Those are people that do not live in Central and South America. We're seeing people from as far away as Asia and the Middle East and parts of Eastern Europe that are arriving at the southern border because they know that under the current administration, all they have to do is apply for asylum and they're let into the country. They're given a piece of paper that tells them to go check in with ICE every few months, which few of them ever do. And they're able to essentially live in the U.S. and that they've completely gone around the legal process of entering the country. And, you know, when we talk about the root cause of illegal immigration, that's what it is. It's the way that our laws are set up. It's, you know, Vice President Harris is talking about the root causes being, you know, conditions in Central and South America. And while that certainly has an effect, the root cause of the problem is right here in the United States. We've got to get our asylum laws under control to turn off this faucet that's allowing people to come to the U.S., make a bogus claim, and then live in the U.S. indefinitely.
You guys put forth a number of policy recommendations, most of which are just, I guess I could sum them up by just saying, how about follow the law? Right? I mean, there's just so many things to do. And you know, having been in law enforcement for the vast majority of my adult life, these things are intrinsically linked, right? You can tie these dots together of this silo to that silo to that silo of enforcement activity, why it's that way and why it makes sense. If you eliminate one, it has a detrimental effect to the others. And that's what we're dealing with here. And how about just we step back, take a deep breath, and start all over and just start enforcing all the laws that are on the books?
Exactly. And that's the important thing to remember is that, you know, Congress has passed these laws for a reason. And, you know, for the Biden administration to really turn its back on immigration enforcement, on the men and women of ICE and Customs and Border Protection and Border Patrol is really shameful. And, you know, all it takes is just enforcing the laws as they're written on the books. And we saw some of that with the Trump administration. But, you know, when you allow these organizations, these law enforcement organizations to do their job, you see that, you know, they're able to have success. And, you know, what we saw under Trump was, you know, the ability to really crack down on illegal immigration in this country. And we're seeing the complete opposite now under President Joe Biden, specifically because of the policies that he's put in place and because of the people that he's put in place in key positions across his administration.
So when we go back, let's go back to the five pillars real quick that were laid out by Vice President Kamala Harris. Pillar number one was addressing economic insecurity and inequality. I guess those are fancy words of a way to say send money. Is that what they're doing right now? Are they just sending money? Are they doing any of that?
Yeah. They're trying to. And that's been, unfortunately, one of the U.S.'s first, one of our country's first reactions to any problem is just to throw money at it and hope that it goes away. You know, when we're talking about some of these Northern Triangle countries, you know, you're talking about places that have an inherent culture of political corruption and of, you know, a flagrant misuse of money, whether it comes from their own taxpayers or whether it comes from U.S. taxpayers in the form of foreign aid. And so you are trying to address this crisis by just giving money to Central and South American governments is not going to do anything. And in fact, it's going to make the problem significantly worse. All you're doing in that scenario is enriching the people that are in power in those countries. None of that is going to have any material effect on what we see at the southern border right now.
Yeah, that was pillar two, combating corruption, strengthening democratic governance, and advancing the rule of law. Sounds very similar to a pillar that we probably ought to be working really hard on right here domestically, much less in the Northern Triangle. Do we know who we're sending the money to? I mean, we know that these leaders are corrupt. We know that they're not really interested in human rights. They're allowing all kinds of things to happen to traffic their citizens to the United States, right? Have we made
exactly?
Any,
and in many cases,
there?
Yeah, and in many cases, you know, the money it's either going to the national governments of these countries, or it's going to nonprofit organizations in these countries that do not necessarily have the best interests of the United States at heart. You know, these are organizations that encourage people and give them the resources to migrate illegally to the United States. They set them up with legal representation in the United States. They help them, you know, navigate and game our broken asylum system. And we're American taxpayers are paying for that indirectly and directly through foreign aid that we send both to these governments, but also to these organizations that help facilitate human smuggling and help facilitate the growth of illegal alien populations in our country.
Yeah, so you can't help but chuckle when you hear Pillar 3 and 4 then, promoting respect for human rights, labor rights, and the free press. And Pillar 4, countering and preventing violence, extortion, and other crimes perpetrated by criminal gangs, trafficking networks, and other organized criminal organizations. It seems to me that in 3 and 4, more so as much as any of them, that if we just enforce our laws, those issues go away. I mean, you know,
exactly.
We don't need to go to the Northern Triangle countries to accomplish these things. All we need to do is go to the southern border, do what we're supposed to do, and we're not going to have any of these issues.
That's right. And in fact, we can do it. You know, we know exactly what the problem is. It's you know, the way that we have allowed people to use asylum as a way to get into the country and never leave. The answer is right in front of us. We don't need to be sending billions of dollars to Central and Southern American countries to fix their inherent struggles and in their governments. That's not going to do anything. And even if it did somehow make these countries, you know, more democratic or you know, marginally increase their GDP, nothing is going to change as long as the U.S. has the economy and the jobs that it has. You know, these people, regardless of the situation in their home country, they want to come here no matter what. And so it's up to us to stop them where we can. And at the southern border, in the interior of the country, through worksite enforcement, you know, we have the tools to address this. But what we're seeing is that under the Biden administration, we're just refusing to use them.
And I guess one of the ways that they're dealing with democratic governance is they're allowing illegals that come across the border to vote in local and state elections in a number of jurisdictions across this country. I guess they couldn't gain those freedoms for them in their own origin country, so they give it to them here, and they're not a citizen.
Yeah, and it's really outrageous and frankly pretty scary to see what's going on in some of these localities across the country, most recently in New York City, which is going to be allowing citizens of other countries to determine electoral outcomes in America's largest city. It's really scary, and I really think that there's going to be a lot of localities of counties, cities that are run by the left, where you're going to start seeing more and more of this following New York City's example. And it's really going to be up to the courts to step in and say, this is completely illegal. There is no legal justification or moral justification for allowing people from other countries that are not citizens of the United States to determine the results of elections in the U.S. That is electioneering on the part of the Democratic Party, and it's shameful and disgusting.
Well, there's two things that really kind of drive me crazy about this. And Mayor Eric Adams, newly elected, says the right to vote is at the very core of the principle of self-determination and what it means to be a citizen. So they give them the right to vote. They're not yet a citizen. It's kind of an arrogant assumption, right, that they will be? That the
it
law
is.
At some
in
point
many
in time
cases,
is going to change and embrace these individuals, and this is the precursor? I mean, he's like a one-man legislative body for the entire country that's doing it?
Right, it's just shocking, too, because it also completely removes any incentive – for these people to go through the immigration process legally. If they're already able to vote and to access welfare and to send their kids to public schools, what incentive do they have to pursue citizenship through the legal process? There is none. And it makes no sense to, like you mentioned, to assume that these people are going to pursue citizenship now that they have pretty much every right guaranteed under citizenship, just without the official document.
And so let's put this in context in a piece that y'all put together. In the most recent mayoral election, there are about 1,000,001 votes cast. This little move here will add 800,000 foreign nationals to the voters' rolls. And when you think about that, and let's just say half vote, they can very much be determinative of the future of that city. And they could possibly end up being the largest voting bloc in that city. It's probably not going to happen the first time, maybe not the second time. And then when you add to that, that you only need to be living in the city 30 days to be eligible to vote. If you want to talk about stacking,
you're absolutely right.
Stacking ballot boxes, my God, I mean, this is so suspect of just complete manipulation. And it could be that you're just moving across one jurisdictional line a half a mile to get into another one, and you're able to vote. And if you do that 30 days before an election, go move in with a family member or whatever, change your address at the post office box, go vote in these elections, and then go right back where you came from.
Right, it's important to remember too that these elections have huge consequences for the people of New York. You're talking about where funding in the city goes to. You're talking about what public works projects are prioritized over others. And like you said, when you're adding potentially 800,000 people, newly enfranchised people, to a city where only about 1,000,000 voted in the last last mayoral election, that's a huge, huge impact. And these people who are not citizens of the United States are going to determine where resources are distributed in America's largest city. And again, I think the real fear here is that there are going to be other cities in the United States that look at New York as an example and say, you know what, we want to try this too. And I think it's really just a matter of time before you see some of these cities that are run by, really far left people start to pursue this as legislation.
Well, my saying is you get what you deserve. You voted in, you're going to get what you deserve. What I don't like about this is that there's always one place they always go to bail them out, and that's the taxpayer. And that means everybody in this country pays the bill for them engaging in these science projects, very few of which actually ever work. And, I'm almost at the point of do whatever you want, but let's make it illegal to look to the federal government to bail you out. Once you make these decisions, you're out. You're on your own. You've reached 18. You've left the confines of your parents' house. You're on your own. There's no looking back. And then we see how many want to do that after the first failure of one of these major cities. I don't know. I just throw my hands up in the air. I can't figure this out. But anyway, Preston Hennekins, thank you so much for joining us from FAIR. Truly enjoyed the conversation. Have a great week, my friend.
Yeah, you as well. Thanks for having me on.
All righty. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Love to hear what you're thinking about this. Now they're voting.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.